As the McCoys read in the scriptures this morning, in Luke chapter 2, verse 11, the Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, had been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. So what do we do at Christmas time? We celebrate the baby. How many of you remember when you were a baby? Yeah, we were helpless when we were a baby. We need somebody to feed us. We needed somebody to bathe us. We needed somebody to help us go to the bathroom and clean it all up. And we were helpless. When Christ came into the world as a little baby, he came like you and I into this world, helpless. We relied on our parents, relatives, whoever was able to help us and nurture us and allow us to grow and to become adults. God's plan is so amazing when you think about it. So we are here this morning celebrating the baby. Why do we celebrate Jesus' birthday so different than any other birthdays? Because when it's time to honor this historical figure, we have set a day aside for them. And we don't think about them as babies. We don't have pictures of important people like Abraham Lincoln when he was a baby, born in a log cabin in Kentucky. But we do remember him as a contribution to our country and what he has given to our world as president, lawyer, senator, congressperson. So it's proper that we celebrate Jesus as a child. And if you think about it, when he was born, shepherds came to honor him. Later, wise men came from the east and brought him gifts. These people had no idea what Christ would eventually accomplish as an adult. But eventually, they were all doing the right thing. Because when Jesus was born, it was probably the most remarkable event in human history. When that star appeared, people wanted to go and see what was going on. He had changed the whole culture of the Jewish culture and the whole culture of what we live out even today. This is an amazing thing. How can God be in human form? Well, in the Old Testament, the prophets, God sent these prophets to help the people understand about his love and about his grace and all that, and they didn't want to listen. In fact, they killed most of them. And I think God sitting up there scratching his head, how am I going to communicate with these people? I said, I know. I'm going to be one like them. Oh, well, how can I do that? Well, I'd have to be born from a woman. Oh, I know. Holy Spirit, come on over here, man. I got a job for you. And he had this little girl, probably about Courtney's age, 14, 15, 16 years old, that was engaged to be married to this guy, Joseph. And the angel appeared to her and told her, Mary, you are blessed. You are going to carry God's child, the one that will save the world. And she said to the angel, how can that be? I have never been with a man. I'm a virgin and I am engaged to be married. How can that be? And the angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you shall conceive. Why did it come that way? Because Christ had to come into the world as sinless. If he was born of woman, a regular woman that was impregnated by a man, it wouldn't be pure. The bloodline would not be pure. So God, through his Holy Spirit, Mary conceived. It caused a lot of stir. There was an awful lot of things. I mean, she was chastised like you wouldn't believe, criticized. You know, this girl was supposed to be married to Joseph. Now she must have been out there messing around or doing something, I don't know. How could she have got pregnant? But by faith, Mary continued. And she said, I have been blessed by the Most High. What a wonderful joy to know that when Christ came into this world, he had to come into this world sinless. Now, he grew in wisdom and stature. He came from that helpless little baby to a young man, went to the temple, was reading Torah, and the priests and the Sadducees and all, they were amazed. Who is this guy? He's never been to our rabbinic schools or learned about all this stuff, yet he knows all of the Torah. Well, he continued to minister, did miracles. His first miracle was at a wedding in Cana of Galilee. And little by little, he got this reputation, and he was teaching, and he was helping them to understand. But it didn't quite work out real good for him, because the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and all these other people, they were jealous of this guy. They said, he's claiming to be the king of the Jews. How can that be? Well, he was. How amazing that God came in human form, the creator of the universe, visiting this planet. And I pray that we will never hesitate to celebrate the Christmas marvel of his incarnation. As we stand in awe and we look at tiny babies, and we understand God's creation. Life begins at conception. It's been a proven medical fact now in the laboratories where they were doing some artificial insemination and so forth. When they take the seed of the man and connect it with an egg of the woman, there's a light that goes, phew. That's when life begins. So if we step back and wonder, the story even gets better. This little baby grew into manhood, lived a perfect life, and was willing to die for your sins and my sin. When he had taken the sins of the world, the cross of Calvary, David prophesied in Psalm 22 what would take place. In Psalm 22, if you read it, there's a part in there that says, my God, why have thou forsaken me? Jesus cried that out on the cross because he felt that brief separation from God, because God couldn't be in the presence of sin, and Christ has taken the sins of the world. And he also said, though, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The Jews of the day understood there could be no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. When John the Baptist first saw Jesus coming, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And that was all well and good. Our sins had been forgiven. So they took him down off the cross. They wrapped him in cloths. How did he start out? Wrapped in swaddling clothes. How did he go to the grave? Wrapped in linen cloth. They put him into the tomb. And you know some of the stories that they were all concerned, and they were concerned that the Jews were going to come and steal the body, so the Romans put a guard at the tomb, and the king even put his signet ring on it in the wax so that that way it would be protected, put guards there. So one day the disciples and Mary Magdalene, I guess, decided that she was going to go and visit the tomb, and when she went, the tomb was empty. And somebody was in the tomb, sitting on the table, and the grave clothes were falling on the floor. And she said, where have you taken my Lord? And he said to her, Mary, it is I. Not only was he raised from the dead, but he continued among 500 people, or maybe even more, had seen him walking. He was walking on this earth after he was crucified, dead and buried, for 40 days ministering. Told the disciples to go to the upper room because he was going to send one greater than him, the Holy Spirit. And that's when they received, and guess what? Another birthday, the birthday of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a lot to celebrate. We have a lot to share. You know, the most beautiful gift that was ever given to us was our salvation through Christ. And one of the most blessed gifts that you can ever give to family and friends is to share that story that they too may be able to trust in the Lord and have eternal life. Celebrate the baby. Trust the Savior. And that's how you can make this Christmas season complete. Wise people today, as the wise men came to see the baby, wise people today worship not only the child of Bethlehem, but also the man of Calvary.